Hello everyone and welcome to the Pop That Mama podcast. This episode is a bit of a mashup of everything. Motherhood, identity, relationships, being in the present moment, just the works. So to put it into context, I recorded this on a Saturday night with just me in the shed and I was in a very free-flowing mindset. So if you're in the mood for that kind of podcast, stick around and listen to it as a kind of background rather than front and focus waiting to learn. All right, guys, enjoy. The first theme I want to talk about is parenting in moments. How the whole parenting, mothering experience can be kind of summed up in moments. So the moment that your toddler goes crazy at a shopping center and is screaming and kicking on the floor, and you know, the mum across the aisle looks at you and recognizes that moment. The moment that you settle your little one and they kiss you and say, I love you. And that's like, you know, these universal kind of moments, these moments, moments, moments. And that's what I mean by the last 2 days, I felt like I've just had these moments. And the last moment that I had was I was sitting on the sofa with Junes. And I'd obviously recorded last week's episode about motherhood, maiden to mother. And I realized that I was sharing about how I didn't bond with her straight away and all of those things. And tonight when she was sat on me, I pulled her towards me and I was holding her, and suddenly I was remembering holding her as a baby, and I was thinking about how much love I have for her now, and I was feeling it all in my body, like from my head to my toes, and it just brought me to tears because I was like, I don't know, it's so mixed and it's hard to explain, but it was like a part of me wanted that then and felt like, should I have been feeling what I feel today then? And if so, why didn't I? Or is it part of romanticism? Is it this idea that we've been sold that that moment is meant to be the best moment of your life? And all of these thoughts were going through my head. And then I just thought, I'm just going to enjoy like feeling like this love. Like it was like an oxytocin rush, like in the same way as I would imagine you would have after birth. And then she came up and then there was a tear coming down my eye. And she's so observant. So she just went, Mama, you've got a tear, like that. And then she like touched it. And I just said, it's because I love you. And then I gave her a big hug. And she's so smart. Like she wouldn't think mummy's crying, she's upset. She gets things, as do all children, right? They are whole people, which that's going to be the next theme, whole people. These children come into this world whole. And it's only later that I've realized that. Anyway, there's lots to unpack there, but let me continue. So I had this whole feeling of like wondering, you know, was it something that I did? And then I started to think, could it have been the birth? So I don't know how many of you know that we were separated for some time because she caught an infection. So my birth experience was straightforward. It was positive. It was empowering. It's what led me to do this work. And my birth story is on the previous podcast. But that separation, I started to then think, like, was it that? Could it have been that separation? I know a lot of other educators speak about that as a really important thing and how trauma is stored in the body and all of this stuff. And I do think that those topics are huge. And I think, yes, it of course it's possible, but also we are really resilient. And I fundamentally believe that babies are resilient, that human beings are so resilient. You imagine like when you lose someone that you think you can't live without, or you can't function without, and you do function, you get up, you know, and we do, we're so resilient. So I'm a firm believer of that. But I was wondering, could it have been the separation that did that? And then I remembered the experience I had of looking at her and feeling as though she didn't feel like she was mine. She obviously, well, I say obviously, you don't know, but she had very pale skin, very long legs. I'm small, I'm tiny. And then I remembered the experience I had when I was actually looking at her and absorbing her and feeling as though she wasn't mine and as though we weren't related. And I think it was because of the way that she looked. Like she was kind of translucent, almost, you know, like very light, light skin. She had long legs. She was above average length, like above average. And I'm obviously very small. As you know, I'm mixed race. I'm half black. So she didn't have any color in her. And I just remember feeling as though, and obviously they're all squished and wet and everything. And I don't know, this is probably quite taboo to speak about. And I wonder if you guys have ever had this experience, if you have given birth. But I wish someone had actually warned me, you know, they probably won't look like yours when they come out, if that makes sense. Because I did have this kind of shock element. And then I think combined with the separation and then coming back, there was this kind of weird disconnect thing. And I haven't really spoken about that because I don't know. I've never heard anyone else say that. And then I wonder if, you know, you always feel like people might judge you for thinking that way. But it was just this feeling of like not related. And obviously, yeah, it comes back to that thing, that pressure to bond and fall in love with them straight away. And then if you're suddenly like, oh, this it doesn't feel like it's mine. Plus, I'm not feeling love. Imagine that whole experience is horrible. I said in one of my previous podcasts that when one of the midwives came in and said, oh, she's a daddy's girl, how it felt like I was being punched in the stomach. Because suddenly it was like, I almost felt like someone had an insight into my mind and how I was feeling and how, oh my God, you know, and when you've just given birth, you're highly sensitive. So those of you who haven't given birth yet, yes, please know that you can be very sensitive after it. It's such a vulnerable time in our lives, birth and afterwards. So I was having all of these thoughts and feelings, and I don't think I'll ever come to a conclusion as to why I didn't feel how I felt tonight with her in the beginning. But I think I have a strong sense that it could be a bit of romanticism playing out. And that's a theme I'm going to come and touch on in a moment. So yeah, yesterday and today, I said to Tom at the end of the day yesterday, when June's was, I don't know, when she just started walking, which was actually just after one. And you know, when they walk around and they're kind of like this walking hazard and they might bump something and you have to be tiptoe on your feet, watching their every move. And it's like physically tiring, like it's exhausting. And you just feel so drained. And then when the other one takes over, if you're lucky enough to have a partner or someone supporting you, you just hand them over and you take it, you sigh and you're like, I just need a bit of me time, and you feel zapped. What I was thinking is how now I left yesterday and today energized from being with her. And I wasn't like, can you take her? I need space. I was just enjoying being with her, like fully just enjoying being with her. And it has been like that, I'd say, pretty much, I don't know, from what age? Let's not put an age or time on it. It just, you know, it evolves and it changes. But what I really noticed is I didn't feel like getting my own, having my own space afterwards. I just simply enjoyed and fully immersed myself in being with her in the moment in time and in which we were. And I even checked my screen time at the end of the day and it was 18 minutes. And that's what I mean, like just fully being with her. And I loved it so much. I love being with her. And I just want to say this because if anyone does have that feeling or lack of feeling when they first meet their child, please don't worry. Of course, that love is going to grow, you know? And I wish I had heard this before, because I wouldn't have put so much pressure on myself. And I did carry that. I carried that a lot. And I felt like I forced it. I tried so hard to make that love exist. And obviously, if you try and you chase, what's my saying? If you chase something, it runs. So, yeah, I hope that will either resonate with you now or later. Coming back to the parenting in moments, there's been so many moments with June's where I want to hold it. I want to take this moment and hold it in my hands and just bring it close to me and keep it with me forever. And I want to be able to have that moment again, the same moment. And I had a moment today with her like that, where we were lying down and our faces were pressed up against each other. So my nose was touching hers and we were closing our eyes. And then I thought she was going to drift off to sleep. And then she opened her eyes and then I opened my eyes. And then I thought, I won't move my face because I don't want to snap her out of that sleepy state. And because we were so close, you know, when you're so close to someone, your eyes kind of do a funny thing. Because we were so close, I just felt like it was funny. Like, I just wanted to laugh in that moment. And, you know, and you can feel a laugh like building, building, building. And then I just let it out and I laughed. And she laughed back. And then I thought, oh no, like, I'm going to really get her out of her sleepy zone. And we both just started laughing and laughing and laughing. It's like moments like that. And once every couple of months, so I do all of the settles at the moment. Tom was doing them before, but now she's wants me to do them. And when I settle her, basically once every couple of months, I'm like, ah, let's have a party. Like, let's just go crazy. Because we do have a quite a similar bouncy energy. So Tom's dad and Tom were downstairs and I was like, oh, I'm just going to go settle June. So we walk upstairs, I've brushed her teeth, everything's super chill, lights are down low. And then I hear, Pop, going shop, like that. And I'm like, oh, they're both going out to the shop. So then I hear the door slam. So I'm like, oh, they've both gone. So then we're in the bed together and suddenly I'm just like, right, like let's have a party, basically. She was in the mood. She wasn't tired. I wasn't, like, we both, there was just a vibe. And I went with it and we ended up laughing. She was pushing me off the bed. I was dragging her off the bed and then plonking her down. And then, like, it just went crazy to the point, like, we were almost sweating. And then I was like, I can't finish this settle. I have to get Tom to do this because once I've stirred it up so much so that I can no longer settle her, that it's gone too wild. So I go back onto the landing and I'm like, Tom. And I can't hear that he's come back. So anyway, so I go downstairs and Tom's dad is sitting on the sofa with his paper and he looks up at me with his glasses and he goes, I heard everything. And I thought, oh my God, he's going to think I'm mad. Like, I went up there as if I'm going to settle her. And then it was a party. So then I was like, oh gosh, like, I just felt really embarrassed. It's that classic thing of like, I would never have done that had I known he was there. But he just said, at least she's going to have a sense of humor. So he got it. Like, he knows June's, he knows me. He knows that we were just having a laugh. But from his perspective, he must have thought, what is going on? I just got up there, brush her teeth and then walk upstairs. Okay, yeah, we're just going to go settle, guys. Go upstairs. Like, all this noise. Boom, boom. Yeah, anyway. So in moments, like, that's another moment. Just moment, moment, moment. So lots of moments, some that we all resonate with and others that are unique to us. But it's just, I hope I'm explaining this okay, but it feels like moments in time that are so rich that you want to hold on to and you want to keep. And this is not just with parenting. You have this with life, right? I had this in Mallorca, dancing with all the girls. And I was like, want to take a snapshot. I want to hold this. Hold. I want to hold this. So I want to play you a little audio, a little sound bite of my all-time favorite philosopher, Alan Watts. Big up. And this is all about a concept called Yugan. So this is all about how life is always evolving and changing and how we want to cling on to it, but by clinging on to it, we take out the magic of life because life wouldn't be life if it wasn't always in flux. He's definitely going to do a better job of explaining this, but the concept is called Yugan. And Yugan is all about having an attitude of awe and wonder towards the world that we're living in. And actually perceiving life through that lens, we can have more gratitude for these experiences and these moments, and we can marvel at them, you know, at the weirdness of existence. And also recognizing that actually there's going to be parts of life that we will never really understand. So yeah, he's going to explain this so much better, but he uses this analogy which just hits home. And if you listen to this man's voice, number one, he is a pure genius. And number two, he really cares about his message and his art. I would invite you to stop what you're doing and maybe plug in your headphones and just take a minute and really listen to this, because actually it applies for everything in life, just everything.
See, it's always the image of change that really makes the poem. The fact that things are always running out, that things are always disappearing, has some hidden marvel in it. The Japanese have a word, yugen, Y-U-G-E-N, which has no English equivalent whatsoever. And yugen is, in a way, digging change. It's described poetically. You have the feeling of yugen when you see out in the distant water some ships hidden behind a far-off island. You have the feeling of yugen when you watch wild geese suddenly seen and then lost in the clouds. You have the feeling of yugen when you look across Mount Tamalpais and you've never been to the other side, and you see the sky beyond. You don't go over there to look and see what's on the other side. That wouldn't be yugen. You let the other side be the other side. And it evokes something in your imagination, but you don't attempt to define it, to pin it down. Yugen. So in the same way, the coming and going of things in the world is marvelous. They go. Where do they go? Don't answer, because that would spoil the mystery. They vanish into the mystery. But if you try to pursue them, you've destroyed yugen. Like I remember when I was almost a child in the Pyrenees, in the southwest of France, we went way up in this gorgeous silence of the mountains. But in the distance, we could hear the bells on the cows clanking. And somehow those tiny sounds brought out the silence. And so in the same way, slight permanences bring out change. Life is life, you see, just because it's always disappearing.
He's a very deep thinker, and I just realized that as I was playing that maybe without context of who he is and his work, maybe some of you listened to him already, it might not make as much sense, but that audio always gets me. One day when I listened to the full audio upstairs, Tom was in Aberdeen, and I cried so much that I was wailing and making loud sounds like crying and releasing. And the way that I can explain it was there was a lot going on within me, but number one, he's articulated something that I have been thinking about for so long, like this sense of like wanting to hold things, but then if you hold it, you change it. When I'm thinking about photos and videos of Dunes, I'm thinking, do I store these on Google Drive? Do I make her a video? Or do I just let it be and not try and hold and memorize, you know, snap and like material, make something material? And there was also another thought that struck me, which is that he left his work with us in such a generous and giving way. And he's now more famous and touching more lives and more recognized and more prevalent everywhere because of that. And it did make me think about my work and how I want to do that too. I want to give everything and be helping people when I'm no longer here, not because I want some recognition when I'm not here. Of course not. I've always said to any, like, burn me, do what you want. I have no, couldn't give two hoots what happens to me, my body, because I'm gone. It's not about that. It's just that's powerful, right? Like to care about something so much that you're dedicated enough to make it spread. And that's what's happened with his ideas, is they've continued to spread. But imagine he said, well, I'm going to charge you £150 and you can come here and have a philosophy lecture, and that is it. And those 300, however many people that bought his ticket, got touched by his work, and then kapush, it vanished and it died with him. Like, that would be such a shame. Yet here I am, 32-year-old birth educator, crying my eyes out over this concept and this piece of work, this recording that was recorded years ago but has been repurposed to an audio segment, is making me cry and has touched me to the core of my being and is making me wail so loud that I could wake Juniper up. But that is what I'm talking about. that's what I feel towards my work and those meditations where I'm taking people into the depths of their minds and getting them to go places they wouldn't go without that guidance. It's that that I want to live on, like move people. And I've always said that with my work is I want to move people. I want to give them an experience, you know, and challenge. Anyway, right. The next theme was about thinking of your child as a whole. Why am I speaking like that, guys? As a whole person speaking. It's because I've been with those South Africans. It's coming back. And I did a podcast with a South African woman yesterday. I don't think you guys know this, but I used to have a full South African accent. Like I used to speak like this, hey? So because I lived there 5 years, I remember recording my voice message and being like, wow, that's really South African. Anyway, whole person. So whole, thinking of them as a whole person. And I am very aware of Juniper has all of the ingredients and everything and in it's all within her and she's whole. And I'm there to guide her through life and to take her through the development chapters of her life and guide her, but not control her. Just lead the way through example, but hold her hand when she wants me to. And I was actually thinking earlier about what a privilege that is, that we get to do that as mothers and as parents, that we get to hold our children's hand and guide them through this strange existence and hopefully help them to turn out good and hopefully that they enjoy life, right? Because that's what this is about, is just hopefully finding some meaning, giving back to the world and enjoying life. So yeah, just really seeing them as a whole or whole. So the way that I used to think about Junes when she was 15 months or so, when she was just like chatting back a bit and tantrums and it was really fiery and heated, is she'd wake up and I'd literally hear her and I'd think like, it's almost like a walking job. You know, because everywhere they go, they're leaving something or they need something. And it's literally, you can't sit down and stop doing the job because you have to continue. Whereas now, tonight, she sat on my lap. We had an audiobook. She was flicking through a penguin book. I was zoning out and I was just in my own little world, kind of thinking about this podcast, actually. And we were both in our own worlds to some degree. And she's no longer a walking job. So anyone who's in the walking job space, just know it changes. Hope I'm not being too bitchy, everyone, but I'm just being truthful about the walking job situation and how it is. Like, it's very demanding. There's no two ways about it. It's not that I'm a bad mum. Maybe it's because I'm a good mum. Maybe it's because I want to do everything well. I want to do a good job. So I'm walking and doing the job. So whole person vibes. So just really recognizing that they come with everything already and that actually our jobs are to bring the best bits out. I hope that resonates. If you have anything to say, please DM me. The next thing I want to talk about is the balancing act. So those of you who are mothers will know that you are constantly juggling things and sort of, I don't know about you guys, but throughout the day, I kind of think how long have I spent, for example, on myself. So have I done a bike or have I done some work in the morning? And then how much time am I spending with Juniper? And I always have a kind of a sort of thing in my head that makes sure that I'm giving her a lot, enough, but I'm still filling my cup and I'm still doing this important work. And it's that thing and constantly trying to manage it. So I've got very strict boundaries around when she's off nursery, I am off because I know that I can do work on the days that I'm at work. I'm not picking up DMs, which is why I should post a thing on my stories, which is I think people think that I don't reply, but it's literally like today I've had how many minutes? 18 or so minutes on the screen. So I'm not spending those 18 or so minutes in my DMs. So it's that thing of like juggling and constantly fine tuning. And some days you're like, wow, I've got this down. I'm balanced. I'm very balanced. At the moment, I feel like that. Let's see, it might change. But it's that constant thing. And what I've noticed recently is there's this real kind of push and movement all about self-development, self-preservation, self-health, self. And I've noticed that all of these big accounts are like, you know, moving to sharing their top tips about how they keep healthy or zero fat, whatever. And there's this whole movement about really just focusing on ourselves. And I can see how easy it is to buy into it. The 5 a.m. club, the runner's thing or the water, the ice bath. There's a lot of it going around. And if you look through it all, none of it is about how can I help my neighbor or my loved one or my family. It's literally all about the self and the ego. And that's why it's so damn appealing, is because it's ego. And most of us are run by that, whether we know it or we don't. So it's something that you have to keep in check. But it's appealing, isn't it? Because most of us do want to be better at what we're doing. I want to be better at what I'm doing. I want to be a better mom. I want to be better at this job. I want to be better at these podcasts. I want to be better at being a wife, you know, better, better, better. But actually, it's like some crazy rat race thing. Because what, are we all just going to go to our coffins with our amazing bodies and our beautiful skin? You know, God forbid we get hit by a car. Would we really look back and go, I'm really glad that I spent 15 hours in the gym instead of, you know, 15 hours with the people that I love laughing? So it's just like, yeah, just getting perspective on that whole movement, because I can see how easy it is to buy into. But the reason why I mentioned that is it's that balancing act. So I'm a mother. I literally couldn't buy into that movement because that would be neglect. I would literally have to not prioritize or look after Junes, because in order to do that, I would be thinking, actively thinking about myself and thinking about the number of hours I need to work out and thinking about all of the perfect meals that I need to make. And so naturally a byproduct of that is less presence, less connection, and less of authenticity. And I guess I'm sharing this because it's a massive movement. And if you are listening and you've bought into these ideologies and ideas, then maybe this could be something that wakes you up and makes you think, actually, you know, maybe I have been influenced in this way. I've just seen a lot of it around, and it's not good. I don't think it's good, because it's just going to breed a whole load of selfish people. So how much time should you spend on yourself? So that was the thing, that I was talking about, is that juggling act and thinking about how much time am I spending on myself? And it is something that you work on every day. And I guess when you're feeling like tired and like you haven't had enough, then obviously that's a sign. So there's things that show you that you're not spending enough time on yourself. But yeah, I think I'm really good at really balancing things. And then my final thought about that is to actually just focus on just good thoughts and gratitude. I say that like it's easy, it's not. But I genuinely think a lot of good thoughts throughout the day, which is why people have said to me, like, why are you so well within yourself? And I genuinely do think it's because of the thoughts that I choose and the command I have over my mind, which hopefully I'll be teaching Juniper about. Even tonight in the bath, we lowered the lights and I was teaching her deep breathing. So already I'm teaching her mindfulness, and I do want her to have, you know, some command over her mind. And if you can't get control over your thoughts, then that's pretty scary, isn't it? Like, that's our mind, that's our space. So with parenting, I'm always questioning why I'm doing something a certain way and where I got it from. Before, I'd be singing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star at bedtime. And then I would ask myself, why am I doing that? And where did I get it from? And I realized that I just absorbed it from society. That's what you do. You sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. You put white noise on, you know. And actually, I was like, what? Like, let me do this my way. So I started to use my hypnobirthing tools and I started to use the countdown. So 5, you know, your eyes are feeling heavy. But then I would include positive affirmations throughout. So you are kind, we love you. And I tell her, everyone who loves her as well, you are well, your body is healthy. Tomorrow when you wake up, you're going to feel fresh, rejuvenated. So I embed nice thoughts for her. Again, like, no one taught me that. It's just me deciding that, no, I'm not going to just do something because I've absorbed it. I'm going to do it my way. So actually just remembering that you can make what you want of it. And I've done that throughout my whole parenting journey with Junes. Like, yeah, it's been amazing. And I actually feel like we've almost fused together in some ways because of the way that I've been parenting her. So it's coming from me in a really real way. And tonight she was on my leg. And she was sat there. This is going to be so hard to explain, but we were both upright. And there was just a moment, maybe it was just we both at the same time started to feel a bit tired, but started to kind of settle more into that specific moment. And we both did the exact same body movement backwards. It was this kind of, mm-hmm. And then I realized, like, we are in sync. That just doesn't happen randomly. Like when you're in sync with someone, you do the same sort of things. Like your body moves in the same way. It's like when you're talking to someone, you start mirroring their body language. It was that deep connection thing that also made me think that's come from intuitive, instinctive parenting. I'm not blowing my own trumpet, by the way. I just suddenly realized, does this sound like that? But it's not that. I've always said, I'll say specifically what I think I'm good at and specifically what I think I'm bad at. I think what I'm bad at is impatience. So if something's taking long or if I'm suddenly bored of what we're doing, I'll just want to do something else. And then I find that actually, and it just doesn't feel nice. Sometimes I'm good and I can sit with the moment and it's not like I've got an impatient spirit. I'm actually very good at staying calm if that's what makes the doula work so good for me. But it's just after a long, long day indoors, I'm getting a bit cabin fever. I'll have that slight feeling of like, come on, can we just, let's go to the park. And then, or she wants to walk and not get in the buggy. And I'm like, okay, can we go? Come on. I think that's a standard parenting move, by the way. I've seen lots of other parents do that. Like, come on, come on. But actually, the fact that I'm aware of it makes me stop and really try and hold the moment that she's in, or if she's looking at something, look at it with her. But you cannot be perfect every day. And that would also be inauthentic because it's not true to how you're feeling. So you can catch yourself and go with it. But other times, come on, let's go. So impatience. I would also say that sometimes I can get bored of the play aspect. Sometimes I can get really into it and I can run around and I'll sweat and like wild and I'm almost like on her level. And then other times, you know, we're playing with a specific thing and I'm just not in that zone. I'm not in that mode and I feel awful, but I'm bored. So yeah, that's another thing. But then I see her play with her other friends and it really does make sense to me why kids need kids. This whole thing of us sitting on the floor playing, I think is like maybe quite a new thing, you know, the fact that we're all more isolated and stuff. I'm very much about things are right when they feel right. The fact that sometimes that doesn't feel right to me kind of says that maybe it's okay for me not to want to spend 4 hours straight sat on the floor playing Lego or moving between the toy stations. The fact that it doesn't feel right feels right. So then it must be right. I've been listening to too much Alan Watts. So by the way, guys, I really want to do an episode about the history of who I am, because I met up with one of my colleagues and she was like, I don't get it. Are you posh? Are you gangster? Are you what? And I literally thought I need to do a podcast on this because I wonder if you guys think the same. So I grew up on a council estate, which is why you might hear me slip into a little bit of rude boy vibes. And I do have quite an interesting background in terms of where I've lived and the kind of influences that I've had. The next thing is relationships and how that has evolved over the 3 years of motherhood. So I think I've mentioned before, there's the lack of physical intimacy, but what we have in place of that is a way more deeper bond because we share something huge, more than marriage, more than a house. And that is a humongous thing to share with someone, and the responsibility of raising a child. So that has deepened our bond and we just adore each other and we have so much respect for each other, and everyone around us sees that, like they do, in such a big way. And we meet each other on the same intellectual wavelength. We can have interesting discussions and we still fancy the pants of each other, which is really, really nice. You know, I'd go out for dinner with him and suddenly I see him and I'm like, if I saw him now, I would be very attracted to him. And I do think that helps because that physical thing, it is important, you know, that's kind of makes the difference between kind of friend and not friend and someone that you want to be intimate with. You have to have that feeling. So that's really nice. And that kind of fiery thing is what keeps the spark alive. Although sometimes, you know, if we've had a really rough period or she's not sleeping, there's no sparks flying around. Come on. But yeah, we have a very, very solid relationship. And I think Juniper has only deepened it in a very big way. Like, I know he's the person I want to be with forever. And that's a really lovely feeling that I have. And that, you know, June's is part of that because I've seen how he is with her. And I feel like I've seen everything about him. And I've seen, you know, I know his family so well. We've been together 13 years and I really understand his background because of his family. And I just know there's people cut from a good cloth and that's it, you know. Obviously, it's going to be more nuanced than that. And I'm not saying there's not a possibility that he might have some bad things in him, but generally speaking, I see so many positives from who he is as a person inside, you know, and that's a lovely thing. And I think Junes has only brought that out. However, after my hot girl summer, which you'll know about if you listen to the last episode, because I tapped into that whole maiden energy, I got back and I told him I wanted a teen love. It was so funny. He got it wrong. He thought that I wanted to go out and find someone else. I was like, are you mad? I'm saying I want it from you. I was like, I want a teen love. This hot girl summer got went too far. But I just said like, I want a teen love. I want some, you know, I want to recreate that. And then he was like, yeah, but Pop, like, you know, this is just too unrealistic. I'm like, yeah, but in my head, I was like, can't we just like sit outside and look up at the stars on a random evening and talk until 1 a.m. But anyway, that was a funny little experience. And I think it was tapping into that maiden energy that then was like, I want a teen love. Anyway, yeah, I told my friend, my local mum friend, and she just looks at me and she went, I'm so over you. That was her reaction to my teen love saga. But that's over now. I think it was just I'm back into full mother, not maiden right now. I was over the summer, but that it was great. I might have to tap into her again sometime. We have gone a little bit all over the place here. I hope this has actually been interesting. Could you let me know, please? Because I actually do want to know if these episodes are interesting. No one from the podcast messaged me back. It's so weird. It's literally weird. But oh, email me at popthatmama@gmail.com and I will reply on email because I check all of my emails. And I am hoping to get this podcast sponsored. And if you do, give me a rating, because I've been getting a few negative ones recently, which is fine. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. But if you're actually enjoying it, just hit the 5 stars. That'd be lovely if you're still here. So a few takeaways from me, I would say, talking to myself, see each stage as a learning experience, throw myself into it, ourselves, yourselves, if this is resonating, throw yourself into it and say to yourself, like, what can I learn? Like when it's really tough, when you're pushing the buggy up the hill, when you've got a screaming newborn and your toddler and maybe another one and you've got work like all on you, everything's like, you know, and you just feel like you want to explode. Just think to yourself, like, what am I going to learn from this? I'm being stretched. There's something here. Then don't expect, don't force. Don't try and force things, you know, like do things your way and don't force it. With the love thing in the beginning, I tried to force it. It only made it worse. Just let the whole thing be, you know, let it be. Then what I would say to myself and you, if this resonates, is just enjoy helping them reach those developmental milestones and breed that curiosity and nurture their brains and their development and invest in them, not from a personal interest point of view, just for them. So I'm saying that to myself because I definitely don't want to seem like I'm telling everyone what to do or how to parent, because that is so not me. I hate being told what to do. Don't expect every day to be joyous. It's going to be rocky. But again, coming back to that first point, what can you learn? Just as our children are actually physically separate from us, we are separate from them in a big way. And I always think to myself, like, I'm not going to expect much back. Like, I would absolutely love if Juniper wants to hang out with me when she's my age. Like, I want to hang out with my dad. Literally, I want to be with him. And I would love Juniper to feel that way about me. And that's all I want. I don't want anything else. Anyways, guys, no outro for this. Just I love you all. And I'm going to be going off now to have some chamomile tea and relax with my husband. And yeah, you can. Love you. Bye-bye.